Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello? Who is this?
Well, it's hard to say. Who is this?
Hello? My name is Oliver. I'm calling from Germany. I'd like to speak with Chelsea.
You sound too scary. I'm hanging up. No!
No.
Oliver.
I'm really Oliver from Germany. I just like to know whether you received a letter from me.
I am terrified right now. You know that there's a vibration to every human voice. You hear how mine right now is kind of sassy, kind of light, kind of fun, kind of playful. Yours is like you are straight up in bed with all the curtains drawn and you have like a bunch of weird lab rats for some reason. They're all albinos. You're like writing in blood.
I'm just by myself, and it's probably because of the time difference.
What time is it there?
It's 1:20.
What's your normal bedtime?
It's a bedtime. It's sleeping time already, yeah.
Oh.
But I needed to know whether you got my letter.
Where am I? I need water. Get me out of this anecdote.
I mean, technically, it's not an anecdote, but I didn't receive any letter. You know, I don't know how I would have received a letter because I don't have any public address, nor am I available letter receipt.
I sent it to the address.
Well, can we just talk about what's in the letter? What was in it?
Oh, it's really hard to sum it up. It's how I found you on some podcasts. It's really hard. I sent it to your manager address.
Oh, she throws all those into her fireplace. She's a nut. You know, she just loves to make big roaring fires.
Breaking a bad connection. I sent it to the address of your manager.
What I'm saying is my manager is a truly despicable person. She burns my mail. She doesn't want me to succeed.
Oh, this is a typical Hollywood manager, or
yes,
is this just especially for you?
Oh, everyone in Hollywood does this with all letters. It's a sickness in this town.
This is bad.
Yeah, I know, man.
Okay.
Well, what was in it?
I was so fascinated by your different appearances on this different podcast. How you answered this personal questions it's really hard. I should have saved a copy.
You know what? It's sometimes these things are just, you know, destined to kind of dead end, and you know, you can't always control it. You know.
I just was wondering whether you received it or not, and so it's a worst case.
You know what? I feel like you could do a one man show called "Have You Received My Letter?" Because you know that English phrase like a motherfucker.
Connection. I really don't get any sentence complete from you.
Oh man, are you able to hear this? I'm out of here.
Call from
John.
John,
how's it going?
What's up? The topic is your mom. The topic is your mom.
What'd you say?
The topic is your mom.
The topic, my specific mother?
Yeah.
All right, cool. What should I tell you about her?
I don't know. What's to know, you know?
Well, she was born in Clovis, New Mexico, about 50 years ago.
How old are you?
I'm about 24.
Oh, shit. You're just a young man getting your start in this world. How's life going so far as an adult?
I've already blown a small fortune.
You did?
Yeah.
Why? What was the fortune? How much is a small fortune? 10 grand?
No, when I was 18, the New York Mets gave me $210,000.
Whoa! Why?
Because they thought I was a good baseball player.
Oh my God! What happened?
Yeah, just buying sushi every night, thinking I'm the man.
Yeah.
Bought a new car.
What kind of car?
It kept up to you.
What kind of car did you get?
I got just a standard F-150, but then I did stupid stuff to it, you know?
I do not know what a standard F-150 is. You realize you're talking to a female, right?
Oh, my bad.
What is that?
It's a Ford truck.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
I would have, expected you to say, I bought a Lambo. Something like that.
I wasn't quite Lambo rich, though. I wish.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Okay, so you bought this truck. You got a bunch of sush.
Yeah.
You had sush cranking through your sis.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then what happened? You started sucking at baseball?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bless you. Bless you, boy.
Yeah. I did. I'm not going to lie. I wasn't as good as I thought I was.
Damn
and my
it.
Arm wasn't as healthy as I thought it was.
What happened to your arm, honestly?
Oh, my elbow blew out. But then they fixed it. Yeah. And then I came back and I just couldn't stay off the bottle, you know?
Really? Are you telling me lies?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
What do you mean you couldn't stay off the bottle? You were drunk?
No, I wouldn't say that much, but when you have to be somewhere at 6 a.m., it's not advantageous to stay out till 2 a.m., you know?
That means you ruined your huge career shot with drinking, which equals you have a major drinking problem.
I wouldn't say major. I was irresponsible and too young to understand the ramifications of my actions.
Damn, you sound mad mature right now, though.
I know. It's amazing what happens when you're a broke dick. Sorry. Can I curse? Are you allowed
yeah.
to curse?
Yeah, you can say whatever you want. See? Dick. Cunt.
Okay.
Dick.
I like to keep it Mormon, though, if I can.
Oh, okay. Cunt. Now, so you know. Just basically pissed away your chance. And was this the main, what is it? The minor leagues and the major leagues?
I was just a minor league nobody.
And you failed at even that.
I did fail at that. Hey, yeah, that's true. I still have some opportunities coming up. I'm about to go to Australia to play.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's not exactly the mecca of baseball, though, you know?
You want me to teach you some pertinent Australian terms? Cunt. Good catch, mate.
Terms.
Good,
exactly.
Good throw, mate.
There's That's a good accent. I hope so.
There's a koala on the field. Stuff like that should help you.
I can only assume that's what's going to go on.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy out there. You got to be ready to bunt a koala out into the.
Have you been there?
No.
Okay.
Yet I remain.
It's gonna be crazy, though.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy, dog. Okay, so you got your arm back together. Do you still drink now?
Sorry, do I? Oh no, no. Right now, I'm actually drinking like a vegetable. I saw that movie, Nearly Fat, Sick, and Dead. That's what I've been juicing, you know?
Oh, I got to see that. A lot of my friends here in Hollywood juice. It's really irritating.
Yeah, since I live in the L.A. area, too, it kind of caught on, and now I've just been getting my nutrients on every day.
Are you very tan?
I got a farmer's tan.
Ugh, come on, man. You live in the L.A. area. Hit a poolside, you know what I'm saying?
I know. I'm not like a typical L.A. person. I live like in the Inland Empire, which isn't, you know, very nice.
What's that? Compton area?
Like Rancho Cucamonga.
Ooh, I would almost move there just for the name.
It's a bitch though when you're writing like on an envelope your return address. It's a lot of letters.
Yeah, they should make some sort of official abbreviation. Rancho Cook. Leave it at that.
Rancho Cook. I'll go to the town hall meeting next Wednesday and petition for that.
Okay, cool. I hope that you do that. So far, you've been my favorite caller. I feel that you have a lot of potential. I'm glad you've gotten your life back on track. I think you're going to go to the majors after Australia. I just sense that for you. Your attitude is right. And at this point, I do. Have to go.
Hello.
What?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Do you have an accent?
I'm from Australia.
Can you say, let's put another shrimp on the Barbie in an American accent?
Okay. I'll do that. Hey, you want to put another shrimp on the barbecue and then we can go get a coffee?
That was amazing. You're my favorite caller. He really nailed it. He really did. Dreams come true sometimes, you guys. If you just constantly push forward through all the resistance and all the negativity, you go to this place where suddenly you're on the phone with an Australian who does agree to do an American accent saying something that's stereotypically Australian, and it all comes together. I can't in good conscience say I have coffee cranking through my cyst because I felt like I took four sips and I was already ODing today. Something's happening. Something's in the air. The end is nigh. But you know what it's like when you're like on that kind of a schedule? Some of you, maybe you work a night shift or you're a creative type and you might relate. You're still kind of asleep. You're not fully up, but someone calls and they have that aggressive energy of like, come on, this is what the world is doing. We're all up. What are you doing? Come on. Reminds me of a new song that I have to premiere today on the PCast. Come on. When a square is really getting on your back. Come on. Just saying, fall in line. They're calling you. They've got that peppy aggression in their voice in the morning. They're like, come on, I'm a square. Be a square. I'm up. Why aren't you up? So this song goes out to you. I'm not fully awake yet. I'm not fully awake. Please call me back or text me, 'cause I am not fully awake. Don't comment on my voice, how gravelly it is, because I'm not fully awake and can't retaliate. Don't comment on the time of day. I work at night so I can sleep in the day. Thank you, bye. Did anyone relate? Would this be anyone's anthem? I realize, you know, it doesn't have the pep and sass of a coffee cranking, for example. But I think it's going to be a grower, not a shower of songs. Anyhow, let me know what you think on You know how you guys always tell me all your opinions on things.
Call from.
It's Chance, Chelsea.
Oh my God.
Press 1. To send a voicemail, press 2.
This is my ex-boyfriend. Chance.
What's up, my girl?
Alright, so, Chance.
How's my beautiful dream girl?
Well, I'm good. For those of you, I mean, why would anyone know this? Chance is the stage name, I guess you could call it, of someone that I dated briefly when I lived in New York. Chance, we haven't been in touch, so I'm surprised that you're even calling in.
Well, boo, I've been listening to your podcast, and I'm just so proud of you, girl. I just knew that, like, you would just set your mind to something and make it beautiful, you know? It's like you have so much beauty inside of you, and to see it now expressed like this, like,
shit.
Even, like, without the support of a man around, you've just done it. Yo, what's up, kid? I just saw a friend of mine. How are you, Chelsea?
You know, I'm good. I'm just sort of waiting for you to say something you need from me or want.
Chelsea, that's not what this call is about. I mean, it's always, even when we were dating very seriously and I could pleasure you sexually at the drop of a hat, it was always about you. And I'm just so proud, and it's great to see a fellow podcaster putting something out there
what?
That she believes in.
You have a podcast?
Yeah, it's called Take a Chance on This, and it's like about spoken word. It's like a spoken word call-in show. So, like, I have callers.
You have a call-in show now? You have a call-in show now? Really?
Yeah, it's called Take a Chance on This, because my name is Chance, and every opportunity and experience basically is an opportunity to take a chance, and that's what I think you've done on your call-in podcast, as I am doing on the first episode of my call-in podcast that I have been planning for months before hearing yours.
Wait a minute. You're telling me you've been planning a call-in podcast for months prior to mine, and then...
Basically, Chelsea, that's what I'm saying.
So then you're going to start it soon, but what on paper, really what's happening is you heard mine, and now you're going to start one.
But Chelsea, a few corrections on what you just said previously. Like, obviously, like, you know, there's nothing on paper like Jay-Z. I do not write anything down because I've had to memorize my rhymes and my thoughts.
You guys are so, you and Jay-Z.
As far as it being on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Second, if you know anything about me, it's that I'm a perfectionist. So, like, I've been thinking about this and ruminating and culminating all of my ideas.
I never really thought of you as a thinker.
Okay, well, that was maybe one reason the relationship didn't work out, is because you belittled me with your thoughts about my intelligence level.
If I remember correctly, you always copy everything I do, and you're always riding my coattails. You disappear on me for months at a time and are unreachable, and then whenever something good starts going for me, you appear out of thin air and try to benefit from it.
I mean, as in terms of, like, karma, that's what you want to call it. Like, the world comes, and you know that the world acts in mysterious ways, and the power Jah will call it, that's what life is. You know what I mean? So basically...
Did you just say Jah? Yeah.
Yes, I mean, however you want to define higher power for me, Jah, Buddha, Hindu, Jay, you know, whoever it is for you, Jay-Z, obviously, like, that's, you know, the people, beautiful black ebony princesses, Lauryn Hill.
Mine would be Wendy Williams.
Okay, Wendy Williams, absolutely. Like, I think she posits in the negative, and that's not something I'm more interested in, positivity, as far as the band Arrested Development goes and other musical heroes like that to me.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Chelsea, it's like, look, if you want to get into, like, our relationship, I would say, like,
what is there to get into? Honestly, you cheated on me, right?
I love you, Chelsea. I love you too much to date you.
That's crazy. That's
is it?
That is the stupidest thing I've ever heard a person say to another person.
I loved you too much to date you, Chelsea. You were too precious to me. I had to let you go or I would crush you.
That's
under my love.
That's the biggest cop-out. You just wanted to run around and fuck all these different people.
look, I don't believe in, I believe in monogamous emotional love, but physical love, that's not a monogamous thing to me. That's like, that's what we have to share is our
you
bodies.
Are
my
so
heart.
Stupid.
You,
you're
else.
Stupid. You're a stupid dummy.
Am I?
Yeah. You're like
stupid
a stupid.
Falling in love with you, Chelsea. Stupid to think I could trust you.
Stupid to say almost every sentence you said. It's like a big.
Will you just go out with me, Chelsea? Will you just go out with me? Will you at
no.
least go out with me one more time?
No.
Go to a vegan restaurant? I'm vegan now.
Cool. Well, I'm not, and I don't just do whatever you do on your timeline. My answer is no, I'm not interested. Was there.
I mean, I will wait by the phone, Chelsea. I will wait. I will wait by this phone because also I'm doing my call-in show right now. So if people want to call into my podcast, they can
you're
call into
a copycat.
That.
You're just a dumb copycat.
Chelsea, that's that negativity that I both love and also am frustrated by why we could not work out. You know what I mean?
But you know what? It's negative to just steal someone's idea and act like it's yours.
Oh, okay, so like Picasso and Matisse, like, oh, stealing. No, two great geniuses living at the same time, learning from one another, building, growing. You know, I mean, it's like Nas, Jay-Z, you know, one isn't without the other.
I guess that's right.
But you're not my enemy, Chelsea. You're my love. You're my great love of my life.
I guess it's true what you're saying of like how different artists can influence each other.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like I come up with a call-in idea. You jump on it faster because you do it. And you choose to do that. And you, even though it's not fully formed out, you know, I take more time. I figure it out. And boom, you pop out with it. I'm not gonna blame you for that. You know what I mean?
Listen.
You do it
yeah.
beautifully. And you do it elegantly.
We should definitely get back together.
What's that?
We should definitely get back together.
I feel like we should date again, Chelsea, maybe in a casual setting, an open thing, but we should date.
No.
I need you in my life. I love you so much. It's like basically you're the love of my life. And I want to be with you and I want to send you dick pics on the reg. And
you're extremely corny to me. You're extremely corny to me.
You know, but you put up your walls, and that's cool.
You're extremely corny to me.
All right, well, you know, I don't understand irony.
Fucking
like,
shut up!
I love you, Chelsea.
No, thank you.
I love you, Chelsea.
No, thank you.
All right, you press your buttons, Chelsea, but I know which buttons to press. Come on now. Come on, Chelsea. Yo, let me tell you. Yo, Chelsea, come to my New York Poetry Slam out here in
no,
L.A.
Thank
I'll
you.
Take you out afterwards.
No, thank you.
Chelsea, you can't stop me. I have to stick with all of this, okay? All right, Chelsea, I love you. And check out my podcast. Take a chance on this. It's a call-in podcast.
No, thank you.
For more poetry.
No, thank you.
I love you, Chelsea. I love
that was Nick Kroll, you guys. You want to see if you have good food taste? I'll give you a test. How it works is I'll say a food and you say good or bad, and then I'll tell you if you're right or not.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah.
Green bell peppers.
Good.
Wrong. Peanuts.
Bad.
Correct. Almonds.
Yeah. Good.
Correct. Quinoa.
Good.
Correct. Swordfish.
Not so good.
Correct! Filet of sole.
No, not so good.
Incorrect. Mm. Well, let's see if we can get you back in the running with radishes.
Oh, radishes, definitely.
Definitely what?
Yes.
You're correct!
Oh my God.
Now this one is going to be a little controversial, okay? Just know, you may be okay. being set up for a fall. You may not. Actually, I'm giving it away too much.
Well,
I tend to go the wrong direction, so it's going to work out perfectly.
All right, fine. Potato chips. Plain potato chips.
Definite. 100% excellent.
Oh!
Correct.
Oh, no! Oh, fuck. I just went to the grocery store to buy you some flavored potato chips. See if I can change your mind.
Awesome.
Let's see. Let's do another food just for fun here. You work at a restaurant, so you know food well. You have good taste. White chocolate.
White chocolate is terrible.
Yes!
Can't stand it.
You are really good. What about olives?
Olives. Olives are good when,
yes,
like, after you've done nothing but drink a lot of water and eat a lot of fruits and vegetables. Olives are really salty. So that's like a 50%, but it's going to be a yes. I'd say yes. Olives are really good.
Okay, you just slid into the base there. And that is correct. And I can't believe I used a baseball analogy. I hate baseball. No offense to my caller on that episode who played baseball. Okay. Let's see here. Did I ask you sun-dried tomatoes?
You did not, and that's a no.
You are so on fucking fire. You've just triggered off what is now a legendary sound effect. Do you like kale?
That's my favorite.
You are the best person. God, you really are an American hero. You have a wonderful palate. Are you going to become a chef?
I am a chef.
You are?
I'm a home chef, though. Home chef.
What does that mean? You just cook?
I planted a garden, mm-hmm, my first garden, just a couple of weeks ago.
Do you like thyme? T-H-Y-M-E.
I do.
That's one of my favorites. Thyme. I like fresh thyme in cooking. I like basil. Listen, I feel at this point I'm really starting to overdo it. I'm going to lose about 90% of my listeners. But thank you so much. You so far have been a delight.
It's an honor, Chelsea. I really love and respect you.
Thank you.
Like, you're amazing. You're to me, I want to say this. To me, you're kind of a new force on the planet. And it's awesome. You have a vibe and intelligence and a level of candor and really precise diction.
Fucking shut up!
No, I'm just kidding.
It's just kidding. Awesome.
Thank you. That is really nice.
My pleasure, Maya. Thank you so much.
Listen, I gotta say, and I'm just gonna, and I know I normally don't do this, but I want to shoot a couple comps right back at you. Your food taste is exquisite. It really is. Like, it's just, I think that's a really bonding thing if you have similar food taste with someone. Also, your voice, you sound chill. You know, we got off to a little bit of a rocky start here on this call, but we found our zone in which the two of us as human beings were connecting and vibing, and that's what it's all about. Thank you again for calling. You were great.
Thank you.
Call from
Cameron.
Cameron, what makes love work?
What makes love work?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Have you ever been in love?
No, I haven't. I have not. Have I ever been in love?
Right.
No.
Have you? Yes, I have. But do you think something's like, what's up with you? How old are you?
22.
22. Okay, so you got some time, right?
I guess so. I don't know. I don't really see it happening, but...
Why?
I don't know. I can't imagine being in a relationship with someone. Like, just, I don't know.
Why not?
Being around someone for a long amount of time.
So what's your MO right now? You just kind of like hit it and quit it?
No, not even that, actually. Just
you're abstinent.
Pure abstinence.
Emotional and physical abstinence across the board.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm open to like whatever, but I don't seek anything out.
Why is that?
Low self-esteem, probably.
What's your worst fear about yourself? What do you hate about yourself?
What do I hate about myself? Oh, God, the list goes on.
I hear you. I have that same sickness, you know? Just the constant, like, additions to the list.
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying lately to get myself together, exercising and whatnot, but it's like, I don't know, I'm very skinny and awkward, and so, you know.
But a lot of people like that.
Yeah, but I have skin problems, too.
Oh, this is so sweet that you're being so open.
Well, you know, I mean, I honestly had no idea I would even get through, so that's kind of cool, so I'm like, whatever.
Yeah, might as well tell your secrets. Where are you located?
Where am I located? Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, I was just there on a layover after vomiting on a flight to Des Moines, Iowa.
I've done that a few times.
You have? Did you vomit into the vomit bag?
Yeah. No, I've done it quite a few times. I used to get sick on planes all the time. And one time I didn't have a bag and I was like reaching for it and the lady next to me was like, here you go. And she like patted me on the back while I was throwing up.
Oh, that's really nice because I was surrounded by men and they all kind of just looked at the ceiling and at the walls of the plane. Like no one said anything to me. I vomited. There was no vomit bag and I was so disoriented. I was like massively nauseated. So I just pulled the seat back open and puked into it in front of me, the pouch on the seat in front of me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and then it was like dripping out of the bottom of the thing onto my stuff, and I'm like pulling a dirty tissue out of my purse and wiping my hands in my jean jacket. There was like puke on my little cute little jean jacket, and all these guys around me. Not one of the people next to me said, hey, are you all right? Do you need anything? Like, they just all pretended it didn't happen. And I, like, projectile vomited into that seat pocket.
Oh, God. Wow, I haven't had anything that awful, but that's...
But you get air sickness?
Oh, God. I used to a lot, but I don't anymore.
What changed?
Oh, God. What changed? I don't know. It was just kind of as I got older and I guess maybe more used to flying. I don't know.
But the thing is, I fly all the time. I think I got food poisoning, but it is weird. I had, in the last month, I've had two flying experiences now where I was extremely nauseated. One, I think, was from a migraine and one was from food poisoning, but it is making me like more nervous to fly because I'm associating flying with feeling nauseated and feeling like I'm going to puke.
Oh. Yeah, no, that used to happen to me, and, like, I used to just always be in constant fear of it, and then I kind of got over it. But I remember one time, like, I had salt and vinegar chips and tomato juice on the flight.
Yeah.
And, like, my aunt was like, that's, like, the most acidic thing you can eat. Like, of course you're going to throw up.
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, tomato juice is actually a smart thing to get on a flight because it's filling. Smart. But it is, the problem is it's very high in sodium. And you're supposed to, when you fly, avoid sodium because the dehydration that happens to you when you fly.
Yeah. Anyway. Then I have salt and vinegar chips and tomato juice.
Did it look like you were puking blood?
I don't know. I don't think I can ever really look at it. It's just kind of like in the bag and shut it down.
Yeah, I wish I had had a bag. That would have made all the difference in the world. I do not like vomiting, and I will say I have always been a person who's avoided it at all costs. So to do that in front of people on an airplane, what a nightmare. Shout out to US Airways. That stewardess, by the way, was so mean. Speaking of nice people, I ran to the back after I vomited and I told her I just vomited and I spit in the sink. And she was like, don't spit in the sink. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, I just wasn't. She's like, the toilet is right there. I was like, all right, sorry. And then I go, well, I was trying to get your attention. She goes, why didn't you press the call button? I was like, well, thank you for your compassion. She was like, if you only knew, I'm the most compassionate person. It's like, you know what? I don't think compassionate people have to announce it in that way. You could just tell by their behavior.
Call from
Retta.
Retta? Retta?
Hold on a second. Why is it still on speaker?
Get it off speaker.
Are you still on?
Yes.
I just checked Instagram and realized it was still in time.
You guys, Retta is calling. You love her from Parks and Recreation. She deserves and merits one of our favorite new sound effects, the jackpot. could be shortened. I'll be honest. It could be shortened just a titch.
That's a hell of a jackpot.
Retta, are you in a Hollywood trailer right now?
I am.
What do you do to entertain yourself?
Easy listening. Huh?
What do you do to entertain yourself when you're in your trailer between shooting?
I am listening to, I don't know if you can hear it. Oh, the speakers are on the other side of the trailer. Baby, do not tell me one more thing. That's what I do.
I
listen to some measly listening.
That's nice. It sounds really nice. Do you have, like, candles in there? I never went in your trailer when I worked at Parks, so I don't know what you have going on.
I got nothing fancy. I got a pin board that I haven't put up.
Okay.
And I have scale because I was trying to lose weight and I said, fuck it.
Did you hurl it out the door?
Did I what?
Did you hurl it out the door?
No, it wasn't cheap, so.
Hold on to it.
I'm confused. Okay, so are you recording right now?
Yes, this is all part of the show, potentially, you know? The topic, have you ever been attacked by a bear?
I have not. I mean, unless you mean a large gay man, in which case, no, I still haven't.
Have you had a sexual experience with a gay man?
No, I have not. Well, I may have. You never know.
What does that mean?
You may not have been gay at the time.
Oh, right. That's always an option. Do you think a lot of guys that are gay that you've hooked up with?
No.
I tend to think a lot of people.
I usually get the dirty whores.
Oh, yeah. You have a kind of a freak side to you, right?
not so much a freak side, but I'm willing to entertain.
Well, how do you meet people? Is it hard when you're in the public eye?
Well, now, yeah, I feel like I can't meet anyone.
Right. Like, you wouldn't go on a dating site or something.
No, but I've always been freaked out by those anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know plenty of people who have found their soulmate, supposedly.
Really?
Until they end up skinned. But, you know, plenty of people who have found their soulmate so far.
Are these LA people in LA? People in LA found their soulmates?
I don't know that any of my friends in LA. No, I think it's outside of LA.
Don't you think it's hard here?
I do. I think it's impossible.
It's
obviously not impossible. People get married, but...
Right. I'm going to marry a coyote.
A coyote?
Yeah, that's the only thing that seems really consistent and plentiful out here.
Exactly.
And I would admire their, you know, scrappiness and majesty.
You know, you get to live in the hills.
Yeah, live in the hills. Certain kind of joie de vivre.
was like, girl, what are you saying? In the hills with my man.
With my man in his den. Do coyotes have dens? I don't know.
I don't know.
Are you excited that Dwight Howard is now on the Lakers?
I didn't realize he was, but I'm not really a Lakers fan.
What, are you a fan of any sports or no?
Not really. I cheer for the teams that my dad likes, and I'm a Duke basketball fan.
Yeah, but he doesn't like the Lakers.
He doesn't live here. He's from Jersey, so he's a Giants fan.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. You guys, me and Retta had a wonderful scene that we were able to do together. We didn't get to shoot it together, but it was edited together, in which I gave her a makeup tutorial on Parks. It did hit the cutting room floor, but I have to say we had incredible chemistry and that most likely it will be turned into a movie.
I'm sure. I think it's still, you can still see it online at some point.
That's right. That's right. It is somewhere online. You know, I feel bad because my
partner. It's so crazy because that was my whole storyline, was staying in the Parks office while they went to the skating rink.
I know. I know. It's so hard that it's so hard when there's so many great talents in one television show to fit everyone in.
They were shooting a party. And so I drank so much of this fake champagne.
Oh.
I'm about to fucking jump off a building.
Is it Martinelli's?
No, it's like a fizzy peach drink.
Oh.
So I'm not sure which one. It's good, but after a full day of it.
Ugh. Yeah, that's a lot. Ugh, there's so many trials and tribulations. Do you think acting is the hardest profession out there in the world?
I do not. Oh, I mean, it could be a struggle. Every once in a while, you gotta wear Spanx for 24 hours.
It is crazy when, like, you'll be talking to your friends or who work in entertainment, and you're like complaining about this or that, and then you really look at your life, and you're like, oh, I woke. Like, it's just crazy how. I mean, we're truly blessed. Would you say we're blessed?
No kidding. No doubt. I mean, to even get to work is a big freaking deal.
I know. Do you like Channing Tatum before we get out of here?
I do. A great deal. I enjoy him.
Did you watch?
I just made a reference to Magic Mike in my last scene.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
It was an improv line.
It was? Oh my God. That mm-hmm. makes me so happy.
I said, this guy's dancing, and I was like, ugh, magic psych. Why do you ask?
That is hilarious.
Because he's right here.
Oh my God.
Do you like him?
Channing Tatum's with you?
No, I was saying, why do you ask? I thought you were going to say, he's right here.
I got so excited that you're going to put him on the phone. No, I just, you know, I think he really had a layered performance in Magic Mike. I thought he really knocked it out of the park. And I really enjoyed that song Pony by Genuine, which was on my very first reel. That was the soundtrack that I chose for my reel. A true consummate professional.
Stop it.
No, it really was. It was like boom, 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 boom. And then it's just like me acting in a webisode.
Oh my God, that's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so I mean, when that scene happened and I'm like, oh my God, it's the meeting of everything I love in life. Channing Tatum, Genuine. I mean, it was all coming together. I couldn't believe it.
Pretty amazing.
When I went to that movie, I was with a girl who was not that into it, and I kept like punching her in the arm every scene and like, yay! I'm like, how is this a movie? How is this life? You know, and she was just like texting and so bored.
I went with two gay boys and we were all about it.
That's the dream. I should have done that.
I've got to go back to set.
Okay, well, have a wonderful time on set. We have a real live LA actress on the line, has to dash off to set, everyone. Thank you, Retta, for calling. We love you.
Thanks for taking my call.
We love you here at the show. Green bell peppers.
Green bell peppers. You know what? I'm more of a, I like, what are the small peppers called? You know, like the tiny ones that you get at like an Olive Garden in a salad?
Oh, you're talking about
those peppers.
You're talking about like pepperoncini.
Yeah, that's what they're called. Green bell peppers, I'm not the biggest fan of.
That's correct. That's a great answer.
There you go.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, I don't love that you've dragged the Olive Garden into this. I'll be honest with you.
Well, that's the only way that I really know how to describe those peppers, because that's, yeah, I'm sorry.
Because that's your go-to spot.
I'm broke.
Oh, really? I've been there once only. But listen, hey, if you're broke, you got to do what you got to do. Endless pasta.
It's one of those things where my mother always wanted to go to Olive Garden as a kid, and I kind of thought my mother had fancy taste. So as a kid growing up, when you think like Olive Garden is top shit, and then you kind of realize one day that your mom's just a broke bitch and
oh my god,
like Olive Garden.
Oh my god. First, you just took me through a roller coaster of emotions. I mean, first when you started saying that was a fancy place, like I was like, oh man, like I'm really being elitist. I started tearing up. I felt bad. Then you called your mom a bitch. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Whoa. Just took off on me.
That's what you do to a female when you start calling your mom a bitch around her.
Let me tell you a reason why. This is a short 30-second story I can just tell you. When I was about 13 years old...
Hey, wait, before you do, I got a 30-second story to tell you. Okay. It's the story of a girl's spirit leaving when you describe your mother as a bitch. Okay, let's hear your story, really. Let's hear it.
All right. I was about maybe 14 years old. It was about 8 o'clock at night, dark outside. My mother said, Zach, you have to mow the lawn right now.
Okay.
Mom, but it's dark out. What if I run over some rocks and fuck up the lawnmower? No, Zach, you have to do it now.
That's a good excuse. That's a good excuse, by the way. As far as like kids, we always have to think of excuses for chores.
Exactly. And then it happened. I actually ran over a rock, broke the lawnmower.
Oh my
God. Like I said, it probably would happen. I walk inside. She throws a concrete coaster at my face.
Oh, my God.
Like 15 feet away. A concrete Indian Native American hippie dream catcher design coaster.
The irony.
In the face. It bruised my face for 5 days, and I had to go to school and pretend that my mother didn't abuse me.
What did you tell people happened?
I told them that I called my dad. I think I told them that like my dad like hit me or something because I said something because I didn't want to sound like a bitch getting like a poster thrown at me from my mother. You know what I'm
saying?
Oh
my God. Do you know that my show is becoming a safe haven for people to share their stories of physical violence and abuse in their upbringing?
Yeah.
That's crazy that she
least,
threw.
You know, it's not so bad though. I was never molested as a child. Like,
that's great. Kids, so. That is great.
That's great. That's good stuff. So I'm fine.
Man.
What the hell was that? It's so loud over this phone. Was that like a crowd cheering?
Yeah, that's a crowd cheering that you weren't molested. Okay. We're so happy about that here at the show.
Let's give it up for that. Let's give it up for not being molested.
Yes, that was a huge point that we're happy about. But listen,
okay.
Why was your mom kind of a hippie? Like, why did she have that dream?
She is actually. My mother was a stoner too, and I didn't find that out until I was about 18. She hid that from me, so she believed that dream catchers, you know, kept out bad, like evil spirits and like hippie nonsense.
But didn't she not feel that she herself may have been an evil spirit when she threw something concrete at your head?
That's the thing I try to tell her all the time. Like, I'm a pretty peaceful kid, man. Like, my mother was crazy. She would do so many crazy things. One time, I came home from my father's house after they recently got divorced. She told me and my 3-year-old sister that she took a whole bottle of pills and she was going to overdose and die.
Oh,
and she was just kidding. She was just kidding.
Right.
And, like, this is some shit. You know, this is some shit. This is why people smoke pot.
Yeah, you know, she was putting you through her emotional trauma, you know. But you know what? This is all serious stuff. And honest to God, like,
it's a bummer.
You called me a bitch in this call, and then you called your mom a bitch. I think your real psychology is coming up. No, I don't care. I'm a strong, tough person.
The truth is, Chelsea, I'm the sweetest man to women. Like, I treat women very well, very respectfully. And when I called you a bitch, I think it was just, like, some inner, like, nervous rage that I was having because I was so shocked that I was talking to you. So
but
I'm
do
like,
you
oh,
know
I
that?
Turn up the heat.
Do you know that the sweetest people don't have inner nervous rage?
Inner nervous rage.
That's not a term that applies to the sweetest people. The sweetest people are like, oh, I'm so nervous. I'll just say hi.
I'm so scared.
Yeah.
Hi, Chelsea. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah.
You know, but.
But see,
which
you're
is true. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. I understand. You come from a difficult family, so your whole system is set up to be defensive and protective. And so I don't hold it against you. I totally get it. But I do, in all total sincerity, that sounds kind of fucked up what happened to you and your family. And maybe you should get therapy. Would you ever do it?
Well. I was in therapy when I was like 16 in high school, but I haven't been there since. I'm not opposed to it.
You're like, my therapist was a bitch.
Therapy for little pussies.
My therapist was a bitch, and so I had to quit.
He was creepy and weird, and he had like a lazy eye. Mm. So like, I'll be with my therapist, and I would have like my dad there with me. I couldn't tell if he was looking at me or my dad half the time. So he'd be like talking about shit, like, have you ever gotten beaten? And I'm like, you talking to my dad? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, you're a real jokester in therapy, right? They love that.
I was a jokester.
They love that. What do you do now?
I'm like a comedian. Well, I play drums. I play for several bands, like bands that have like members, you know.
Anything I would know?
Drug problems.
What? Anything I would know, like Katy Perry?
Oh, yeah. I played drums for her and Justin Bieber back up drums for about 3 months last year.
That would be crazy, honestly. You joke about it.
That really would be.
You'd
that
be fucking nuts, amped. But. That's cool. I always wished I could drum, but I don't think I have the ability to do multiple things at once.
Yeah. It's not too hard, really. I mean, to me, it came kind of fast, but some people just have that music in them, you know what I'm saying?
Because you have all that nervous rage that powers you.
I got that nervous rage. I got these evil thoughts running through my brain.
You should start a band called Nervous Rage.
Nervous Rage. And you know, I don't think that name is taken.
And put out an album where every song title has a word bitch in it.
Or everything is just how a woman can ruin your life.
Yeah.
In some way, shape, or form.
Have you had a woman ruin your life romantically?
Oh my God. I've been going through this thing, actually, now that you mention it, with my ex-girlfriend for the last year. I think we broke up like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of these things where, like, I like her or love her or whatever, and she loves me. But she's mm-hmm. with somebody else. But she texts me like all the time, like, "Oh, I miss you and all this shit." But I'm like, "Yo, you're with another man." Stop
well, why is
up
she?
All my shit.
Why is she?
You know?
And P.S. Again, your mom was unavailable emotionally, and now look what you're in.
I know. I'm a heartbroken mess, Chelsea.
I know. It's hard. It's really hard. You have to break the cycle. Well, this call is about 45 hours long.
It's a long call. I listened to your last podcast. I don't think anyone was on the phone with you this long.
You know, you've been an interesting character. You're troubled, yet at core a sweetheart. You got to work through your problems and become
the
man.
Stay positive, Chelsea. That's the number one thing.
What?
Positive energy. You got to stay positive. You can get through anything. You know what I mean? That's
yes.
That's what it's all about.
Yes.
You don't seem too enthused about that.
No,
you're a
I
negative
do.
Person, Chelsea? A negative thinker?
I'm both. I'm a hybrid.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, there's a lot of people like that. Most people wouldn't even admit that. Most people would lie. And that's why I like you, Chelsea.
Thank you.
I can't think of the word, but you're a good spirit.
Thanks. You've really turned around. You've really come around in this call. I've really seen the whole spectrum of your capabilities. And I got to say, go to the good side. You could be a really good guy. I think you can do it. So thanks for calling.
Yeah. Can I sing you a song before I go? Can I just sing you a little song I'm going to make up for you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to make this up on the spot. Chelsea Puberty, you are the baddest bitch in comedy. I love you so much, and you make me laugh.
Oh,
that was for you.
My God, that's amazing. You really are an interesting person. I have to say, I love that you were able to shoehorn the word bitch into the sweetest song I've ever heard. All right, we got to go. Bitch. Thank you very much,
Alrighty.
Bitch. Bye.
Ding, 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 ding.
Looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.
Call from
bitch.
Marcus? Yeah.
How are you? This is Chelsea Pretty. Thank you for thank you so much for calling. And I know I sound sarcastic, but this is how I sound when I'm trying to sound grateful. I really do appreciate your participation.
Yeah, is it because
Well, hi.
How's it going?
It's going great. I didn't wait for you to finish making my nachos. I just went for it.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I started making nachos when I called you. I was going to ask you to help me figure it out, but I just finished it.
Now, see, my instinct is I want to be like, how would I know that? But I'm trying to be really nice this episode, so I'll just say, like, on a positive level, I love nachos. What's your technique?
I was going to say, so far, you've been so much nicer this episode. Just this talk.
Thank you. I'm really trying, you know, to just listen to people's feedback, the constant criticism, and really try to give people more of a shot.
Are you focus grouping?
You know, I wouldn't say I'm focus grouping, but I will say, like, Twitter is basically one long focus group on a bad day.
Yeah, I know.
Have you ever been attacked by a bear?
Oh my god. Yeah, I was like 7. It was my grandparents on a road trip. That's a true story. And it actually fell asleep in front of the car. We had to wait for it to wake up and leave.
You're kidding me. Is that
a
joke?
No, I'm not kidding you. That was my first experience with a bear. It was like a baby black bear, 4 in the morning.
Oh my god, it must have been so cute. Where was its mom?
That's the thing, is like, I've always thought bears are cute since then. I've never even really been afraid of them.
Yeah. Well, why didn't you guys reverse?
Oh, there was like a line of cars. Like, we were like the first car to hit it, like get up to it.
It was sleeping in the middle of the street?
Yeah, it was just laying there. It was really early in the morning.
Is this a lie?
Why would I lie about that? You asked me about my bear attack. I have one bear story ever. I told you.
So a bear just crawled into the middle of the street.
I told you.
And
it
laid
was
down.
Up in like a mountain pass. I told you. And I regret telling you this story.
Why?
Because I always wish I had like a bear attack. Like, I always wish I had the cool story when like the clutch story in the moment.
No, I think that's a pretty good story. I'm just continue to be feeling like we're walking the line where I can't tell if you're yanking my chain. I'm very
gullible. Not at all. Black Bear, it was near Fraser Park, California.
Kelsey Grammer has a park? You can hang up on me. I don't understand.
Call from
Audrey.
Audrey, how are you?
Oh, my gosh.
Where are you calling from now?
Missouri.
Mm-hmm. What do you do in Missouri?
Well, you know, I'm 14, so, you know, just go to school.
Oh, people tight. Tight. The topic today is crying hard. When is the last time you cried very hard?
Maybe last night.
Why?
Because, you know, I was at school, you know, high school, freshman.
Are you experiencing bullying? It's a real hot topic.
Yeah, bullying isn't good.
What do they say to you?
Well, it's like, I'm sorry, this is really boring, but, you know, I was in nutrition and wellness, and, you know, they just had a guy come up to me and ask me to, you know, homecoming. It's just, it's kind of embarrassing because there's a popular hose, and, you know, it happens.
Wait, he asked you to homecoming as a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, that is not fucking okay. Listen, this guy, he asked you to prom as a joke?
Homecoming.
And did you say yes?
Well, no, I knew it was a joke because it's, yeah. But yeah, I didn't. I was there like, well, I had said no, and he was like, but I'm being serious. Can I get your digits? And I was like, no. And so he went over back to the table with all the little popular hoes, and he, like, pretended to cry and stuff, and then she would, like, get really loud, obnoxious, and be all, why did she say no?
Oh, my God. That is really makes me so glad to be an adult. And I have to tell you, like, this man's future, I can almost guarantee you, is going to be very dark. So while he reigns supreme over your little school environment, I really wonder what his future holds. And I'm going to tell you, it's probably a boring job and either a dysfunctional marriage or a life alone. It's uncool what he did to you. I'm angry on your behalf. It's triggering off my lioness, you know, protective, nurturing instincts. Do you have a group of friends at school that you love? That's what really makes the difference, right?
Yeah, I do. Luckily, I'm not one of those, people who don't have anyone to lean on. So, yeah.
What makes the popular girls popular, do you think?
BJ's.
You've never blown someone?
No.
My whole operation is going to be shut down just for asking you that. But listen, that's great. You know, abstinence is wonderful. And just hit the books, stay focused. Don't let these dum-dums throw you off your path to greatness. Because usually my experience is that the people who are popular in the younger grades usually wind up going nowhere in life. And so it's the weirdos, the freaks, the outcasts that wind up really doing things that are interesting with their lives in a long-term way or shooting up the school. So I hope that you'll develop in the other way. I want to say the latter or the former, but I always forget which is which. Just don't shoot up your school.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Call from
Ethan.
Nathan?
Hello?
Nathan?
Is this a Nathan?
Who is it?
This is Steven. Steven?
Steven? What a mix-up. It's this kind of wild hijinks that people keep coming back for, you know? It's just, it's a laugh a second, goof-em-ups, mix-em-ups, things like that. But Steven, what's your story? You know, today we're talking about crying hard. When is the last time you really cried? You really went through some emotions.
When I saw that Batman movie, maybe.
Really?
And you see at the end, of the movie when it was like Batman. He made it. He didn't die in the explosion.
Oh my God.
And he's with the Catwoman.
Oh my God. You sound like a little boy right now. That's very cute. So you were excited for Batman.
Yes.
Because I always think about with my nephews, for example, they're just these little bundles of emotions. You know, they're sweet. They feel stuff really intensely. And I'm like, at what point do they turn into men where they have to guard and hide their emotions so much more and try to prove to the world that they're tough? But,
this is an anonymous call.
Right.
So that's why it's kind of like, well, I'll tell you that I cried during Batman.
Yeah.
But if we were talking face to face, then no, I'd be fucking tough as nails. and I wouldn't have said I've cried ever. I've never cried.
That's the beauty of this whole setup. People are sharing so many things with me, and I love it. What else do you cry to since you're being open? I mean, is there any other instances that we might get into?
Wally. Have you seen Wally?
Yes.
I totally. Every time, after that first time, the two robots hold hands, every other scene that they were in, I cried. I totally cried.
You know what? I don't remember really crying to that movie. I know a lot of people did, but I have cried to crazy movies such as Short Circuit 2.
I haven't seen that.
As well as Glitter, the Mariah Carey vehicle. I cried. I cried in that movie. So, you know.
I think Mariah Carey cried a lot after that movie, too.
I get you. You're zinging Mariah a little bit. I'm sure she's no stranger.
I think she also cried when Nicki Minaj bitch slapped her behind the scenes on American Idol.
I did not see that. Are you following this whole war they have going?
No, I mean, I'm a fan of Nicki, but I don't follow celebrity feuds.
Thank you for opening up, but it is 5,000 degrees here in the studio, so I am going to go put ice cubes all over my face in the bathtub.
Okay.
I'm going to fill a bathtub with ice and then go ahead and get in there until I'm gone. But thank you so much for calling.
No problem.
Okay.
Call from
David Fapp.
David, what's up?
Hey, how's it going tonight?
It's going great, David. The topic is soup. Why is it so boring as a food? Do you like it? Why do some people like it, whereas I personally hate soup?
Soup is a disgusting swill. Basically, it's like taking stomach contents and putting them in a bowl. It's really the food of peasants, really. You know, what more watered-down gruel could you serve people and get away with it, you know?
You're my favorite caller.
Listen, you fucking get it, man. Soup sucks.
It's disgusting.
It's like the
What's
same...
What's your preference? Tomato or cream-based?
I don't like soup. I don't understand how that's your follow-up question. You just ranted against soup and then asked me which is my favorite. I'm so thrown right now.
Well, if you had to eat soup, which one would it be?
Okay, that's it. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
If I had to eat soup, there's one that I like that it's hard to describe without sounding really pretentious.
What was your earliest childhood experience where you didn't like to eat soup?
What is that sound in the background? Do you have a human slave?
No, I have a donkey, actually.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm calling from Canada. I live in the prairies. I actually have a pet donkey.
Oh, my God. You have a donkey?
Yeah, he's miniature, but he's still about 400 pounds.
Oh, my God. What are we talking about soup for? Soup. Hit the road.
I don't know.
What do you do with your donkey?
I just look at him. He protects. I have four pygmy goats, and he protects them from coyotes. We got real bad coyotes here in Canada, so... Every farmer's got donkeys to protect their cows. So.
That is crazy. I have so many questions. First of all, Los Angeles, we are plagued by coyotes as well. They're everywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all over.
Wow, that's because you have a... Sorry. You have a donkey shortage, probably. That's why.
Yeah, we should start flying in a bunch of donkeys. I don't know if that's the best way to do it, but that's the first thought I have as a traveler.
Yeah. But they're very emotional. They're just like a dog, but, a lot bigger and stinkier. But anything you do with a dog, you can do with a donkey.
Did you ever hurt a donkey's feelings?
I did, yes. One cardinal sin is if you ever turn your back to a donkey, they take that extremely harshly. That's how sensitive they are.
Oh, my God.
And they'll mine actually pouts for probably about half a day. If I make the mistake of turning my back on them... He'll literally get this look on his face, and he'll just walk away, and he won't talk to me. So,
oh, my God.
It's just like having an extra girlfriend, really, you know. And
Now we're getting into dicey territory, Canada.
That's right, yeah. But
now, how does he defend... how does a donkey defend your... What did you say? He defends the cows?
Most farmers here have cows and they use the donkeys to protect them, but I got pygmy goats. So, they do, is they just use their front paws, front hoofs like sledgehammers and they'll bash it down, or they'll pick it up with their teeth and body slam it. And it sounds bizarre, but donkeys are actually extremely high performance animals.
I would say their
mouth speed is like a tiger or a lion or something like that. They're very ferocious.
Oh my God. First of all, this is the most amazing call I've ever had in my life. And that's including personal calls.
Sure.
I go on night walks all the time in Los Angeles, of course, with several teams of bodyguards. But what is amazing is we will see coyotes all the time. And one time they were skulking along after me and my friend Natasha Leggero, comedian. And we were so scared that we had to call for a car to get us. Ooh. But anyway,
they were tailing you guys. They were going to attack. If one of you would have tripped or bent over to tie shoelace, they would have got you for sure.
Oh my God, that's so scary.
Honestly, you're probably within 20 seconds or just if you would have dropped your phone or something and reached, they would have saw that momentary weakness and just lunged.
American comedy would have never been the same. That's so scary for America. That is so scary.
So they're cut. You know, like, so you got to be careful on those night walks.
I mean, I'm seriously thinking about buying a donkey now, and I bring it with me walking around Los Angeles.
Yeah, you could. And you know what? They're very mild-mannered. They could, you could put saddlebags. You could put all your computer stuff. You could even put a karaoke machine. You know, they're quite sturdy beasts.
That is really a good idea. You're really going to change my life in the sense that no one's going to ever want to hang out with me. I'm like, you don't want to do donkey karaoke on a night walk? Come on.
Yeah, and you can even have a car battery on the other side of them, and it could be powered. As you walk, you can sing. So it's a win-win, you know. And any geeky guys or losers, they won't come up to you, but you only get the sensitive, rugged outdoorsman kind of guys.
Would a donkey protect you against a human man?
For you, it's going to be a guy magnet, guaranteed.
No, my question is this. Could a donkey, if some man on foot came to attack you, would your donkey protect you against that other human being?
He probably would. He's just like a dog, you know. He could sense friend from foe. So if somebody come up to you kind of aggressive or snippy or just had, you know, bad posture, he would just probably lunge, grab him by the middle of the shirt, the solar plexus, lift him up, and then body slam him right down. And it'll just be like that.
That would be funny.
He would probably look at you, and you could decide if he would stomp him or you just let him go, kind of like the ear and A with the thumb. So you'd have that option, you know, but he'd drop that guy for sure.
That'd be crazy if it turned out like you were just completely insane. like donkeys can't do any of this. You're just like so bonkers. And I'm like, thank you for this factual information, sir. No, this has been fascinating. Thank you. You've really knocked it out of the park on this call. I wish the best to you and your donkey and all of your pygmy goats. Goodbye.
Oh, thank you. Maybe I'll tweet you a picture later on.
I would love that. Please do. Goodbye.
I'll ask him first. I want his permission, but if he agrees, I'll tweet you a picture.
Okay, now you're sounding a little crazy. Listen, put some videos on YouTube. Bye. First things first out here in Hollywood, okay? You got to find the cool friends that you can trust and rely upon. And now, I mean, it's really looking like you need a pet donkey. The topic today is parental punishment. What method did your parents use to punish you, and how did that impact you for the rest of your days?
Jeez, oh, Pete. When I would fall down off of my bike as a kid, I remember my mom putting lemon juice and salt in my cut to teach me to be more careful.
Oh, my God. That is so abusive. What in the world?
I'm joking with you. I'm completely joking. That didn't happen.
Oh my God. Even that your mind created that indicates severe abuse in your family.
Yeah, I don't know where that came from. What were some of yours?
You know, I was not. I don't know if I had timeouts, but I feel like my family's the kind that would have done that.
I was spanked as a kid. I remember that a lot, often more so than my brother and sister. I was the oldest.
Oh. But I was the youngest.
I do remember my dad punching me in the stomach one time. I was like 10 or 11. But, I was really smart-ass as a kid. I was always being a smart-ass. That happened. And then he took me to Chuck E. Cheese. He thought Chuck E. Cheese would make up for it. Whoa! Whoa!
You just triggered off our new jackpot sound effect.
That was crazy. I didn't know what was happening.
Your dad punched you in the stomach, and I really felt that we...
Yeah, that happened.
We had hit a real jackpot in what the theme was versus what you had to say. It all came together, triggering off our new sound effect that we're very proud of here at the show, the jackpot.
That was amazing.
So
happened, I thought my phone was picking up from something else going on. I didn't know what was going on.
How old were you when your dad punched you in the stomach?
Also, I don't know. I have to, it was like 10, 11, or 12.
Maybe.
That's fucked up. I mean, that is really a sucker move. Like, can you imagine having a kid and punching the kid in the stomach?
Oh my God. That, no, it's crazy. That I can't believe I said it out loud. I've never told anybody that.
That's what this show is all about, man. Confirming abuse.
Right.
Well, you think you'll punch your kids in the stomach, or you probably hold off?
Oh, definitely punch them in the stomach. It turned out great, and I think that's a great way to handle a situation.
What do you do?
Right now I'm serving, just waiting tables. I do stand-up comedy in my spare time, and I'm trying to get some acting work.
Okay, so a little bit of everything. Listen, we wish you the best.
Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.
Call from
Richard Marks.
Yes! Ladies and gentlemen, we have a true legend here on the phone. Richard Marks of Right Here Waiting fame. Richard, are you there?
How's my favorite Chelsea of all time?
I'm great. Let's give him an applause. Richard.
As far as you're concerned, I've only really done one song.
Yeah, that's the only one I really, really latched onto, because that's the one with Yearning in it, you know? Like, is that not your favorite song that you've made?
I've made so many songs, but I mean, that was the biggest, probably the biggest one around the world, but...
I always like Sad.
I know you only like that one, and that's okay. At least I have one that you like.
No, I like other songs. Like, I will get into some other stuff. I'll Hold On to the Night or whatevs. But that one, it's just like that one has that yearning where if it comes on when you're driving in a car, you're going to just be singing along in tears, thinking about all the wrong choices you've made and stuff.
That's what I was hoping when I wrote it 20-something years ago. 25 years ago.
20,000
years ago.
20,000 years ago. Wait, so are you do you hate it when people talk about that song?
No. Oh. No. Why would I hate that? I love that song. I'm really grateful that that song was a hit. And
will you
so
sing
why
it?
Would I? No.
Sing it. Sing it.
Well, this is our duet moment.
I know. I'll join in.
Ready? I'll sing the first line, then you follow me. Wherever you go.
Whatever you do.
I will be.
Right here waiting for you.
People are crying in their cars
right now.
Wait,
I want you to sing more of it. I just want you to hear it, please.
Yeah, it proves you can sing, though. You were right in tune. You were right in key with me. I'm really proud of you.
I don't even know what tune or key is. I mean, your voice... The way I met Richard, you guys, I don't know how this even happened, but I got to go hear him sing at this intimate thing in Culver City, one of the most beautiful cities on the continent.
I think it was a Craigslist thing, actually.
Yeah, it was intimate. I don't know what the categories are.
You answered my ad in Craigslist.
Yeah, and I got to see it. His voice is crazy. I went with Moshe Kasher. We were both like in tears. We were like, this guy, I mean, it's like when you see that someone's a legend and you're like, oh, this is why they're a legend. First of all, hit after hit. Did you guys know he wrote the song Dance With My Father? Is that the correct title?
That's correct.
I just always call songs by their chorus, but...
No, that's the name of it. I wrote it with Luther.
Luther Vandross, ladies and gentlemen.
You know what I mean? Now, there's a legend. That is a legend right there.
What was it like?
He was a legend. I'm a poser. He was a legend.
Come on. You're so, like, always hard on yourself. You're not a poser. You're one of the American greats. How many people can say that?
Okay, so, fine.
What was it like writing with Luther? How do you write a song with someone?
Well, every experience is sort of different. In a lot of cases, it's me and somebody sitting. Like, I've written some songs that became hits by Keith Urban. And when he and I write together, we always write, you know, in a room somewhere with a little drum machine going. And we have a couple of instruments at hand. A
couple of...
What's that?
Do you have a couple candles lit? Some red wine flowing?
Generally not with Keith, no. So it's like, you know, we're in there, we make up the music together, we write the lyrics together. In the case of Luther, we wrote, I think, four songs over the years that he recorded, including Dance With My Father, and we were never in the same room when we wrote them. I mean, and it's silly because we were great friends. I mean, we hung out together all the time. But when we wrote together, I would write the music.
Uh-huh.
And I would give him a recording of the music. And then, like, a week later, he would call me up and he would sing me
the lyrics
to the melody that I wrote. And, like, that song, it was like he had this idea for about his dad, and his dad died when he was like, when Luther was like 12, and he missed his dad. And the story is so sweet, and he's just, you know,
so
dance with my father again. And it was like everything. I used to say that Luther could sing the menu to a Chinese takeout place, and it would be super romantic.
You should do that. That's a good idea.
Well, that might be good. Yeah, Mugu Gai Pan was really a sexy line.
will you sing Mugu Gai Pan?
Mugu Gai Pan. I'm just doing my Luther impression of Mugu Gai Pan. I don't think I've ever sung that before like that. So there you go. You claim the one copyright of that.
I will never stop claiming that. Wait. No. So when you go to write a song, you don't know, like, you know that it's going to be about his father who passed away, but you're just not writing any words.
Well, in that case, I just gave him a piece of music, and then that's what he came up with. He said, you know, I want to write this about my dad, and he pretty much wrote the lyrics.
That's,
I mean,
crazy.
I wrote the music and he wrote the lyrics, but in a lot of cases I write both, and in a lot of cases I'll write all the music and then I'll get with somebody and help them write the lyrics. I usually kind of guide it musically for sure. But, you know, when I'm writing with another artist, it's important to write what they want to say. And when I'm writing by myself, I don't care what anybody else wants to say. It's all about me.
Right. That must be the fun zone.
So right here waiting. I mean, most of my hits, I think, except for maybe one, mm-hmm. all of my hits that I had as a singer, I wrote by myself. I didn't have a co-writer. So I could write whatever I wanted to say.
Well, you know? Maybe God was your co-writer.
God was my co-writer.
Judging from the results.
And he takes very little publishing, which is really cool.
Yeah. Wait, so do you just, you must be, as an American legend, are you able to have a lavish lifestyle?
It's kind of lavish. I wish I could take a picture of where I am right now. I'm renting a house up in the hills mm-hmm. above Hollywood. And it's kind of decadent. I mean, it's pretty, my view, and I'm sitting by the pool, and I'm just here for the week, but it's kind of decadent. I mean, this is as decadent as I get. I don't have a posse. I live in Chicago. I live a very quiet life.
No one
ever recognizes me anytime.
That's kind of cool. Yeah. Do you want to hear my coffee song and tell me if you think it's a good song? Okay.
Did you start something from our airplane Twitter chat?
No, this is a pre-existing song that's been a real hit on my podcast, and that's why I want you to do a version.
Oh, so wait, so this is a coffee song, not a mocha song.
Right.
We're going to write the mocha song.
Right. I want you to make a mocha song for me, since I saw your Instagram or some photo you posted of how you were having a great mocha. Okay, so here's the coffee song.
Coffee, got coffee cranking through my sip. Got coffee cranking through my sip. Got coffee cranking through my sip. Getting coffee cranking through my sip.
Richard Marx, what do you think?
It's a little pitchy, dude.
What?
No, I'm kidding. I love it. It's my new favorite song ever.
Oh, man. Well, listen, I never claimed to be a great singer. What I have is heart. You know what I mean?
You do. You know what? You may not be like the perfect singer, but when you sing, you mean it.
That's right, God damn it. What I need from you, you half-Jew legend.
You half-Jew mongrel, you.
I need you to do a mocha version. Can you riff one?
Riff one?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Is it too hard?
Mocha. Mocha makes me like feel like really chill. So, like, where is your coffee? Like, that's good. That's a good musical instinct. It's like, mocha, because, coffee, because it's,
right.
like, it's just, like, caffeine. It's, like, in your face. It's, like, chill.
It's aggressive.
And mocha, to me, is more like chill. It's like, mocha. I got no lyrics.
That was
it's
good.
Like, chill, totally relaxed. Mocha.
No, you can still say cranking through your system, right?
Yeah. I guess so, but it's just more of like, it's more like a heroin kind of thing.
What if it's like got mocha gliding through my system?
That's really kind of sexual now.
So what? Mochas are.
Yeah, mochas are pretty sexy.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'll work on something.
Yeah, work on it.
I'll work on something full on and record it, and it'll be yours to do with what you will. Like, I'll make you a little recording of a mocha song.
I would love that.
And then you and I will sing on it together, and then that can be, like, anytime you feel like you need, like, you need to do either a diversion in your set.
Right.
Or you're doing a podcast, and you're like, I just want to whip out a song. It's going to totally be a cool segue here. Oh, yeah, here's a little thing I wrote with Richard Marks. And that we do edit on it, our mocha song. And then you just like, boom, just like you did with the coffee song.
Yeah.
This would be a total other gear changer.
I love it. I think this is a jackpot idea. Let's do it.
Or did you just have a stroke?
That's a jackpot machine, and I had a stroke. So I'm talking to you out of the left side of my mouth. Thank you so much, Richard, for calling in.
Anytime, Chelsea. I miss you.
Well, you're in LA. We could hang out. You are local now. We definitely could hang out. So, KIT. God, I hate to put someone on the spot and like be like, dance monkey. Like, I hate when people do that. Like, be funny, do bits, you know, or whatever. But Richard Marks, I just wanted him to sing like the entire song with his guitar. One episode, maybe I'll get him to do that. If he ever feels like doing it, I would love it so much, you guys. Like, his voice is crazy. It's like a machine. Everything is perfect. Like, when he's saying my voice is pitchy, I know my voice sucks. Like, I'm just being silly. But I don't even have any idea what pitchy really means. Like, this guy is perfection. His voice is sweet, dulcet, honey. You have got to hear him sing right here waiting for you, top to bottom. Which I'm sure you have a million times because you've heard it on the radio and throughout your whole life.
Since every minute counts when you're a new parent, who wants to waste time washing bottles? Transform this daily chore with the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro, the first machine that automatically washes, sterilizes, and dries bottles, pump parts, and sippy cups at the push of a button. Its 20 spray jets clean everything 100%. Plus, it sterilizes with steam, then dries with germ-free air. Don't waste time on tedious hand washing. Let the Baby Brezza Bottle Washer Pro do it for you. Shop now at babybrezza.com.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
Ready? Let's go. Give me a vacation.
Vacation.
Give me a golf course.
70 courses.
Let's get a water sport.
Paddleboarding.
Can I get excursions?
Whale watching.
Time for chill vibes.
Beach yoga.
How about a garden tour? Balboa
Park.
Give me a dolphin. What's that spell?
San Diego.
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.